All God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to thank Brother Matt Peake for this great opportunity to lead people I love, people I've shared life with, to worship the Savior who we all love. Brother Matt will say it's been almost 30 years since my family first came to Cockwood County, and by God's providence, I got to meet a lot of people, not just in Funston, but all over this county, and many of them were you. I can say that God has used his people in this county to fashion me more into the image of his son, to help me raise my family. In fact, our son, Britt, who is now 38, has never been hired for a job by anyone other than men from Funston, Georgia. His first job at about 12 or 13 years old was working for Mr. Jerry Smith. And he used to come home and, you know, just talk about Brother Jerry. And he said, you know, Brother Jerry wanted me to get on the tractor, and I didn't know how to operate that tractor. And Brother Jerry said, get on it, Britt. If it tears up, we'll fix it. And so he went from Mr. Jerry to, I think it was Dobson Stripling. And then he went from Dobson Stripling to Mr. Lynn and Lindy Jones and worked for them. And then when he moved to Atlanta, he went to work for Batson Cook and Pete Milton Stripling. Miss Carol and Miss Lynn, Carol and Miss Sarah's brother hired him at Batson Cook. So it's been a Funston thing. And I've not had the opportunity yet, but when I get the opportunity, I'm going to ask Pete just how it is that he let Lynn Thompson and Gary Broom slide into such a wonderful family. Gary, it's amazing to me. One day, Britt came home from school, and he walked with me over to the church facilities, and as we were walking over there, he said, Daddy, I got to tell you something. He said, do you remember when you got me that job with Mr. Jerry, and I had to walk to his house every Saturday morning? I said, yeah. He said, I want to tell you, I was as mad at you and Brother Jerry as I could be. I mean, I didn't like it. But he said, you know what, Daddy, I just want to let you know, thank you. And now I'm glad. He said, because I got to work in Atlanta and was surrounded by men who didn't know how to work. I thought, wow, isn't that something? And his story is a little bit of my story when it comes to my salvation. Friends, there was a time when I wasn't too happy about what the Lord had to say about what it meant to be right. In fact, there are a few times when I was outright mad. But can I tell you something? He has made me glad. Christ has made me glad. I didn't start out there. Like many of you have heard before, we're not born Christians. We're all born sinners. But by God's providence and his calling, he extends salvation to us. And when we enter into that relationship, it is a journey where we begin to understand just how abundant his life is. And I'm glad. I wonder, has he made you glad? Has Christ shown you what it's like to live for him and be shepherded by him and to be blessed beyond our wildest imagination? I got to tell you, I first came in contact with Funston Baptist Church driving a chicken truck. I'd come by Funston, Georgia, three times a week. I never in my wildest dreams had imagined that the Lord would call me to be a pastor. And then he'd give me the privilege to live there and be loved on by those people for 30 years. I'm telling you, folks, he has made me glad. And I want to share that message with you tonight. Christ has made me glad. And I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And just to introduce this text, I want to read verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful tonight that you have granted us an opportunity to express the wonderful work of salvation that you have done in our hearts through Christ, to sing of your greatness, Lord, to sing of that love, that redeeming love. And Lord, now to be around your word with your people and your spirit. Father, I pray that what we hear from you tonight, we will agree with, and for your glory, live it out. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Very familiar text to most of us tonight is the parable of the souls. But the context of this is very important. Jesus has been doing his public ministry. He's been preaching and healing. And as that would happen, there were some who were glad about that, and there were others who were not, namely the scribes and the Pharisees. And so his public ministry was a difficult ministry, and yet Christ dedicated and totally committed to declaring the kingdom of God would continue on because he knew he had abundant life to give. He knew he could make people glad. In fact, there were an entourage of people who were with Jesus in this particular place. And it's interesting if you'll notice just what kind of people they were. They were disciples, of whom most of them were common fishermen. And they were piling along with Jesus because he had made them glad. You'll notice in there not only were there his disciples, but there were certain women. It's interesting too, because in those days, women were not supposed to be taught by rabbis. But here we find these women whose lives Jesus had made glad, following him around. There were certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, she would have been a highly political, influential person in her position. And there she is, piling along with Jesus because he had made her glad. And many others who provided for him from their substance. There's an entourage of people who knew something about what you and I know about, that this Messiah could turn sad hearts into glad hearts. The news had gotten out. Jesus had preached in villages everywhere. And so the Bible tells us that eventually a multitude of people had gathered. Undoubtedly, they'd heard about this great teacher and his glad tidings. And most certainly, they would have been eager to hear about these glad tidings, eager to have their lives gladdened by this Messiah. And it's interesting what Jesus decides to do with this multitude. Notice what he says at the end of verse 4. He spoke by parable. That is, he preached the gospel. You know, for a lot of people, in this day in which we live, preaching is not something that's very valued anymore. In fact, there are churches who are building their ministries not around the Word of God, but other ministries, other interests. But Jesus, here in the face of a multitude, shares a parable. And what we're going to learn, if we will give ear to his word, is simply this. Jesus makes people glad by changing their hearts as they hear the word of God. Jesus makes people glad by changing their heart. There are a lot of people who come to church looking to change their home. There are a lot of people who come to church looking to change their marriage status. They come to church hoping Jesus will bless them and make them a millionaire. But you know, happiness never comes from there. Happiness comes from a changed heart. And a heart that has heard the word of the living God. And I want you to notice tonight, when we think about this and we see and hear what Christ teaches, I want us to, if we could, hang our thoughts about this on three phrases. One, carnality breeds contempt. Two is calamity brings concern. And three, clarity brings conviction. Let's think about the first one. Let's think about carnality brings contempt. He tells a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because of lack of moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on the good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he said these things, he cried, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now I want you to imagine with me now. You're one of those in the multitude. You've left town. You've left work. You've heard about the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and you've seen people and know people who have experienced this good deeds that the Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus can do. And so you've laid everything aside and you have come together with the multitudes, maybe even like you have tonight, and you're looking for good tidings. And Jesus tells a story like this. I'm so glad I live in a rural community because Jesus uses a lot of pictures about agriculture. And I couldn't help but imagine that as Jesus told this, there were a lot of people who farmed. And that was an agricultural community. Yeah, they fished, but they also farmed. And so, if you will, there were farmers sitting listening to this story. And I can't help but believe that they would say, and this is glad tidings? We pulled aside to hear this man tell a story about a guy who plants seed on hard dirt and it does not produce. A farmer would say, duh. Any farmer would know that. It's not going to produce. How is that good tidings? And any farmer worth his salt knows that if you have a little topsoil on top of stone and you see a plant spring up and it perishes, it's not going to produce fruit. I was talking to Stanley Bass about this, and I said, Stanley, what do you know about, you know, stone under the ground? He said, well, Ron, I don't know a whole lot about that, but I do know about a clay gall. Any of you farmers know about a clay gall? A clay gall is a little patch in the land that there is a little dirt on top. There's a little a soil on top of a clay hard surface. And any farmer would know, you're not going to get a crop out of that. What does this man mean? Good tidings. We all know, every good farmer knows that you're not going to get a crop out of that. How is that good tidings? Every farmer knows that if you have a field of weeds and you plant in that weeds, those weeds are going to choke out the good plant. How is that good news? And we've laid everything aside. And that's what he tells us. And here's the kicker. And then he tells in this story of something that would be nothing short of miraculous. No good news in hard dirt. No good news in rocky dirt. No good news in weed-infested ground. But this next one is just so ridiculous that it would be hard to believe. But there is the good soil. And get this, it produced 100-fold. One commentator would say that would be $100 for every dollar you invested to put that crop in. I wonder how many farmers would like that tonight. I mean, sevenfold, maybe tenfold, that would be good. But this is ridiculous. This could never happen. You could well imagine. And then Jesus says, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And he just lays it there, Brother Matt. I mean, pretty short story. Is that it? Is that your good news? Is that the glad tidings? So they all begin to separate. Their carnal minds. They just were not interested in anything else he had to say. They had contempt. They either walked away, dispersed. At some point, we find that there's just Jesus and his disciples. These people are so turned off by what they've just heard. It's ridiculous. It's not glad tidings. He who has ears, let him hear. You know what another way to say that is? If you're interested, listen. If you're interested, listen. And what we find out is most of the people in that multitude of people were not interested. They had already heard all they wanted to hear. But you know, the Bible teaches us that the carnal mind cannot receive the things of God because they are what, church? Spiritually discerned. Romans tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. These people here, they're setting their minds on the flesh. This is not good news. This is a crop of 100-fold. This is not possible. Man can't do that because they're thinking with their carnal minds. They don't understand that Jesus is talking about spiritual things. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, and they are absolutely disgusted and disappointed. So they leave. And we're left with just those followers of Jesus Christ. Brings me to my second point. The calamity that brings concern. What we're about to hear next may shock some of us. After Jesus tells the parable in verse 9, it says, then his disciples ask him, saying, what does this parable mean? And listen to this, y'all. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest it has not been given. How does that work? Real simple. If you're not interested in what Jesus is offering, he's not going to explain it to you. What a calamity. What a tragedy. They know nothing of the gladness of God. They know nothing of abundant life, but because they are not interested, Jesus says, you won't get an explanation. Does that bother you? Do you know people who are absolutely not interested in the things of God? Does it not bother you that they are like those who the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 1 when it says, and God gave them over, and God gave them over. He let them have this their head. You don't want God, then God will leave you alone. Now, Man, that gives me a lot of concern. I'll never forget one Sunday, I had noticed somebody in our community that had come to church, and I saw them Monday. And I wanted to go say, Brother Stacy, I wanted to go tell them, man, how great it was to see you at church. And so I go over there, and I shake his hand, and I said, man, I just want to tell you, it was so great to see you at church. And he said, I believe that is the sorriest sermon I ever heard in my life. Some of you may be saying that tonight. I don't know. I mean, he looked at me, Matt, just as serious. That is the sorriest sermon I have ever heard. But what I've learned is he's never been interested, really, in the things of God. If you're not interested, push it back. You run away. And God says, I'll let you have your head. Wow. I know people like that. Is there any hope for people like that? What a calamity in church. It should drive us to our knees. There are people who have no interest in the things of God and the gospel. And unless something changes, by the way, I can tell you what's not going to change. Jesus' message or his method. It's not going to change. Now, I know we live in a day to day when churches are real quick to want to change the message. They want different seed. They fire the preacher because they want a preacher with a different style. Well, can I tell you something? Jesus never let the crowd determine what he would preach and how he would preach it. That's not the way. Where is the hope? The hope is in this. God can change hearts. And that brings us to my third point tonight. Man, what a calamity to be concerned about. But clarity brings conviction. So Jesus explains the parable. And you'll see in this parable that we are told that the soul represents the heart. And so in this parable, we're giving four types of soul. I learned this week. I learned that there's actually an agricultural department that you can go to in this county and find out what kind of soil is in the land you want to buy. I didn't know that. And in fact, you could buy a 500-acre farm, and the farm that's got the best dirt's going to cost you more money. Some of you farmers knew that. Because good ground is what it's all about. And so Jesus tells this parable about the souls, and he gives four different types of soul. First, we see the proud heart. Verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and snatches away the word out of their hearts. I wonder how often that happens on a Sunday morning in a worship service. You could listen to a sermon for 30 minutes and somebody could ask you in the car what it was about, and it's completely gone. That's the devil. This hard dirt would be areas in the field where people traversed. They walked around the tilled land. And so because of so many people walking there, it was hardened. And Jesus is saying that represents a proud heart. It's compacted. It hears, but it doesn't take it in, and the devil snatches it away. That's the proud heart. It gives another type of soul, and I named it this, the precarious heart. By the word precarious, I mean something that is conditional upon circumstances. Does that make sense? Precarious, conditional upon circumstances. But the ones on the rocky are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root because they believe for a while. In the time of temptation, circumstances, they fall away. I tell you, these folks that give a gospel that says, come to Jesus and life's going to be a bed of roses. Friends, I found out, come to Jesus and he'll make you glad, but I'm going to tell you, that doesn't stop the world from giving you a hard time. It's temptation. And so, because it has no root, and when the circumstances change, they fall away. That's a precarious. Do we know people who we thought received the word of God, but when life got tough, when circumstances got tough, they fell away? In fact, there's probably no telling how many people fit that same scenario that are on the rolls at Funston in the rolls of First Baptist. They were here, but they're not here. The third type of soul is the preoccupied heart. The preoccupied heart. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. You know people like that? Supposedly hear the gospel and respond, but cares and concerns and riches and pleasures take priority. And they're choked out. They're not fruitful. Can I just tell you something, folks? It's not all about foliage, it's about fruit that speaks of a person's genuineness and salvation. We know those who joyfully and vigorously sing and talk about God, and then they're nowhere to be found. But thank God, he's in the soul-changing business. Heart-changing business. Because then he gives us the fourth type of soul. And I call this, Brother Brian, the prepared soul. You know, soul can't make itself good, right? I mean, I don't know that it can do it by... It's got to have some help outside of itself. Can I just say this to us? Every heart is wicked in the heart of man. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And we can't change it. But you know who can? God can. God can. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble heart, good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Wow. Now he's making us glad. A I'll never forget when I was at Pine Cliff Baptist Church, a guy I knew growing up was probably the meanest man I ever knew growing up, and he was like in his 20s. I mean, you know, he's one of those that would rather fight than eat. I mean, he'd fight at the drop of the hat and drop the hat. That's this guy. And he got caught up in some drug charges. And got arrested, and I went to see him in jail. And I shared the gospel. This man prayed to receive Christ. He was hungry for the Word. One Sunday afternoon, I went, and there were a group of men over in this part of the jail who were hackling me and heckling me and calling me names and ridiculing me, and I'm trying to preach, and we muddle through it, and I come back the next week, and I say to those guys, I said, hey, where was that particular guy that was so obnoxious last week? And he looked at my buddy that I just led to Christ about a month ago. He said, you need to ask him. I said, what happened? He said, nobody heckles my preacher when he's trying to preach. He said, I whooped him and they moved him out of here. What I'm trying to say is he was a hard heart. He was a man who had no interest in the things of God. And he couldn't change himself. But God changed his heart. He received the Word of God, and he heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And God did something for that man that he could not do for himself. He gave him a pure heart. Oh, friends, would you hear me tonight? There is good glad tidings in Jesus. He can make you glad. But not in your current heart condition. Every one of us, as I said, have fallen short of the glory of God. I'm sure there are people in this room tonight who could say, you know, I've been there, preacher. I've heard the Word of God, and I was on fire, and then I quit going, and I hadn't been back, and I'm here tonight, but I know I was one of those people, but I can just tell you, I don't think it was real. And then there have been those who we could say, you know, yeah, preacher, I want to tell you, I was on fire for the Lord. And then my job started to prosper. And I made more money than I ever made in my life. And I just lost interest in going to church. Other things became more important to me than God. See, what I'm trying to tell you is that might have been us, but that don't have to stay us. It can be changed. The only question is, are we interested enough for God to explain the gospel to us? Will we listen to the Word of God? Friends, can I tell you tonight? God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God. And He laid down His life on a cross that me and you deserved because of our sin. He was buried and raised on the third day so that He could give us a new heart. Are you interested in a new heart? Are you tired of playing it? Can I tell you? I've got great news tonight. Christ can change your heart. Are you interested? Could you say, "Preacher, I don't know what's going on, but for some crazy reason, I've never been more interested in the Word of God than I have been these couple of days." Could it be that the Holy God of heaven is changing your heart? I wonder how many in here give me an amen. I'm telling you, God will change you want to. Amen.
Amen.
Say, "Yeah, preacher. I haven't been interested. I've been too busy. I've been running here and there, and other things were more important. But preacher, something's going on in my life." I'm telling you, it's not something, it's someone. And he wants you to introduce, he wants to introduce you to this abundant life in Christ. Will you receive the gospel tonight? Say, "Brother, I've already been baptized. I'm a church member." Listen, none of that's going to get you there. There'd be more people that are glad you got it right than die with it wrong. Is that you tonight? You need to come forward tonight and say, "Pastor, God stirred my heart and I want to hang on. I want to learn. I want Christ to be my shepherd." Some of us tonight have got people in our family that we love. They are absolutely uninterested in the gospel. Listen, friends, taking them to a church where they got music that fits their style, or they got a preacher who preaches sermonettes about how to be Christianettes in 15 minutes, it's not the answer. We need to get on our knees and pray that a sovereign, gracious God would not leave them there, and that they could hear a clear declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have a want to that they've never had. Listen, friends, they're not going to get it there themselves. But God can. In closing tonight, some time ago I was preaching at a revival at Pine Grove Baptist Church, and one of the nights after I got through preaching, I was meeting people and greeting them, you know, and this husband and wife, they come up to me and they introduce themselves and we do all the niceties, you know. And about that time, the husband looked at me and said, "The rest of us have come for revival too." And I'm thinking, this cat ain't from South Georgia. He was somewhere over the pond, Brian. And I looked at him, I said, "Man, I have no idea what you're talking about." And his wife said, "Well, preacher, you probably didn't notice this, but you spent most of the time when you preach going to the right side, and Eric and I were on the left side." And he just wanted you to know that we come for revival too. Listen, if you came for revival tonight, can I tell you something? Some seed has fell on proud hearts. Some seed has fallen on precarious hearts. Some seed has fallen on preoccupied hearts, and it's not going to produce fruit. But if some of that seed has fallen in your prepared heart in just a few moments, we're going to give an invitation. And if that's your heart, would you make that known? Would you declare Christ publicly? Or maybe tonight, you just need to come to this altar and say, "Preacher, I got a son. I got a daughter. I got a husband. I got a wife. They're not interested at all. And it concerns me. It concerns me that until God does something, they're never going to get an explanation of who they are and who Christ can be for them. Would you come pray for them tonight? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And then Brother Matt and Jimbo, the invitation. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. And Lord, I've been four other men more gifted than me. But Lord, I believe when you put this message on my heart, I entered into a battle. And Lord, it was just my job to deliver the meal hot. So Lord, I pray that I've done that for your glory tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you would reveal your work in good hearts tonight in the way that we respond to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.